Hello, once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley wishing you a very good morning. What a privilege it is to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Talking with different people, I have come across some areas that I think we need to have a look at and discuss. So I'm going to take us into looking at a piece of scripture that I think is very, very precious. It just runs for four verses. It's found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10 and verses 38 through 42, which is the end of the chapter. And it just simply says this: it came to pass as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she should help me." Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." What was that thing? So I'm going to look for a moment or two in the time that we have to share together today from this verse 42. One thing is needful, just one thing. Now, both these women had right thinking about the Lord Jesus, and their thinking was okay, but their working or talking together was not really quite what it ought to have been. There was something different between Martha and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And in the sitting at the feet of Jesus, in another scripture it says, she learned of him. She learned of him. Sometimes it's necessary to take time out and be quiet. The disciples came upon such a situation when John Baptist was taken by Herod and his head was chopped off. And Herod gave the head of John Baptist to this lunatic girl to give to her lunatic mother. And it was a dreadful thing that took place. The woman was incensed against John Baptist because he said, in no uncertain terms, that Herod was in error. As an overseer, a person that had authority over Israel, he was wrong in taking his brother's wife to be his wife while his brother was still alive. John Baptist made no bones about it. It's an interesting thing. John Knox, years later, in the 1500s, I think it was, he lifted his voice against Mary, Queen of Scots, and he called her a murderer. Up in, I think it was Edinburgh or Glasgow, but I think it was Edinburgh, he stood outside the castle, and with his very loud voice, he bellowed and let everybody know that he thought that this woman was so immoral that she should no longer be the head in the monarchy of England or Scotland. So she wanted his head to roll. It's interesting. A lot of years had taken place, 1500 some years had gone by, and still the method of getting rid of the people that a person didn't like was to chop off their heads. Mary, Queen of Scots, wanted to do it. John Knox took ship, and he went across the North Sea and into, I think, Holland. There he sat, and he found Luther in Switzerland, and he spent time with the people in Switzerland and in Geneva. And he spent a few years there until Mary, Queen of Scots, was in fact beheaded by Elizabeth I, and Scotland settled down, and England was prepared to listen to the gospel as John Knox would preach it. He was very influenced by John Calvin, who at the same time was putting together the city of Geneva, and it was a place where people who were of Protestant thinking could easily correspond with one another and talk with each other about the things of God. And Knox was not a silent man. He didn't speak the language, but he was not silent, and I suppose he had interpreters there. It's an interesting thing to me that we like to shut the mouths of people that are critical. We like to stop them up and cause them some distress. Mary has the same attitude exactly, and she says to Jesus, "Doesn't it bother you," in verse 40, "that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Martha was really annoyed with Mary, and she was saying, "I need help, and this woman, my sister, could easily help me. Won't you tell her to help me?" Jesus took hold of the spiritual end of this conversation, and he said, "Oh, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." What was that good part? Well, you have to back up into verse 38 and find, "Now it came to pass that as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into the house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." It's important to understand that she sat at his feet and she listened to what he had to say. Now, people have been devoted to the Lord Jesus for many years. For various reasons, they have given up all. The one major reason is that Jesus said, "Follow me." Matthew gave up his very lucrative business of collecting taxes. Peter and John and the sons of Zebedee, they got together with Andrew. They quit their fishing business and they followed Jesus. So we find people for various reasons, but the one reason above all others is when they hear the words, "Follow me," when the implication is, "I want you to spend your life showing others that I am alive." The first thing we discover in verse 38 is that there was a reception. In verse 38, we read that Martha received Jesus into her house. And it's very important to understand, verse 39 that follows on says, "She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." There is a time to receive the word of God. Now, if you're listening to this program, my prayer is that you will receive the word of God. Maybe you'll be quiet enough for a few moments and still enough for a few moments to allow the word of God to penetrate your soul and lift you up close to the Lord Jesus. It's important to see it. It's important to understand it. But this needs to happen. We cannot receive the word of God dashing around. And one thing that the church is guilty of today is that she is too busy. The overall church today is too busy doing, too busy thinking, too busy concocting programs and goodness knows what all, and we do not sit at the feet of Jesus. We come up with the high-sounding nonsense, as Paul puts it. We think we are heard for our much speaking. You get a collection of preachers together, and they all have their pet peeves and their pet sermonettes and little things that they want to share with people. They feel it's important to talk. It's a great shame that we talk so much. We need to sit and listen. Notice Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I have noticed this as I listen to the news broadcasts on television, that sometimes one person that's being interviewed will run right over the top of the interviewer, or vice versa. The interviewer runs over the person being interviewed. So you get two people talking at the same time but not saying the same thing. And it becomes just a jumble of words. Recently, my hearing has become affected. I can't hear very well, so I tend to listen to this jumble, and I can't even get the facts of the news because of the noise these people are making. Notice, will you, that there is another thing that is indicated here, and it's a very beautiful thing that we look at. I would share with you carefully that from the first epistle of John, we discover some teaching. Now, this woman loved Jesus very much. She loved him so much, she just sat and adored him. She was devoted to him. And I'm going to ask you, what is the condition of the devotion that you have with the Lord Jesus? Let's go to 1 John 4 and verse 19. We discover there these words, "We love him because he first loved us." Can that be said of you personally? Do you love him because he first loved you? I think the answer has to be, of course, yes, I do love Jesus, and I love him because he first loved me. It's a beautiful picture that the Lord Jesus reaches out to the people around, to you and to me and to others like us, and he reaches out and he expresses his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he would be prepared and did die for us. It's very important to understand how Jesus gave himself for us. Jesus was not stingy. Jesus was, in fact, very generous with his love. He asked us to love him back. Now, if you go to Galatians and chapter 2 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." My, how Jesus was so generous as to give his body to be crucified on the cross, and how generous Jesus was to think it not robbery to take upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh and to dwell among us. If I would ask you to attend for a moment in the Gospel of John and the 14th chapter, and there in verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now this is a condition, it's conditional love. But Jesus loves us before we loved him, which is unconditional love. Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will love you, I will help you." And so this woman seems to understand all of this, and she loved him with a great devotion. The third thing about this lady is that she also had submission. Now, somehow, women are more easily persuaded to submit than men are. Men have ideas, men have foolish thinking, and they don't want to be told that they're wrong, and they become gruff and sometimes very surly in emphasizing exactly where they stand. But here is a woman who is in submission. She is in submission, and she is the subject to his authority, which is his truth, which is his teaching. And she sat in the place of humility. If you go to Matthew 11 and verse 29, you read these words, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father?" Now, Jesus is saying in that scripture that the Father knows exactly you're down sitting and you're uprising. He knows when you wander off and make your bed in hell. He is there. He knows when you're at the top of the mountain and down in the slough, in the deepest part of the valley, and he is there. He knows when you've turned to the left and turned to the right, when you should have been walking on with him, and he is there. He doesn't stand back and say, well, when you get time to come back to me, then I'll judge you. Then I'll throw stones at you. Then I'll throw mud in your eye. Then I will curse you, as some people seem to preach about Jesus. That is Islamic thinking. Jesus doesn't act that way, neither does God the Father, nor God the Son, nor God the Holy Spirit, and act towards a Christian, a person believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He will not suffer that person to go through all the miseries that other people tell us we'll go through. Sure, there are consequences of sin. I'm not going to deny that at all. But I'm going to say this to you. Jesus said to the people who were heavy laden and whose devotion was not quite where it should be, whose submission had not managed to work itself out, he said, come to me. I will rest you. Do you see that this woman sat in a place of humility? It was his yoke that was upon her, absolutely under his sway. I would say to you and to me, it's necessary for us to bring ourselves to the place where we can see Jesus in such a position in our lives that we worship him with all that we are and all that we have. I'm trying to beat the clock now. But I would say to you, if you look at the Gospel of John and chapter 10 and verse 9, you read there that Jesus says he is the shepherd of the sheep and he is the door of the sheepfold. And he says, the sheep go in and out and find pasture. In the mornings, the shepherd would lead the sheep out of the fold and into the pasture. In the evening, he would lead them back into the fold and out of the pasture. If he counted 99 instead of 100, he got his staff and he retreated and went over all the distance that he had gone that day with the little ones, the lambs. And there in a thicket, said Jesus, he would hear first the lamb bleating out of fear of the night without its mother and its friends. And then he would approach it, and with his shepherd's crook, he would lift it out of the thicket, lay it on his shoulder, and bring it back to the fold and say to all the other shepherds that were gathered at that fold, rejoice with me, that which was lost is found, that which was dead is alive again. Understand, Jesus doesn't want you to have to go through the awful sufferings of being without him. He wants you to understand him, to give your life to him, and to bring yourself in submission to him. Now, this happens, first of all, if you have a well-balanced life. There are two elements that are necessary in a well-poised Christian life: sitting and serving. Just as receiving must precede giving, so must sitting precede serving. Notice, if you don't receive something, you can't give anything. It's impossible. If you don't have it to give, you can't give it away. When we're in worship with those that love the Lord Jesus, we worship in and we go out witnessing. These are two things that happen. To the man who has a well-balanced life, the two elements, he sits at the feet of Jesus. That is, he reads the word of God. He listens to God speaking to him. He learns in his prayer life to listen to what God says through his word to him, and he becomes a man filled with the Holy Spirit, so that when he goes out to serve, he serves with all his heart, with all his mind, and with all his strength, and all that is within him. This is an important place to understand. The second thing is, there needs to be room for the growth of grace in our lives. The unmerited favor of God has to somehow be projected through our lives. Many stay in a protracted infancy. Failure to sit and be quiet with the Lord Jesus will rob us of personal blessing. If you read 2 Peter 3:18, you will find what happens there. 1 Peter and the second chapter and the second verse must be understood by us. Otherwise, we cannot grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We have to attend the sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, I'm quite aware that sitting and listening to people preach isn't always as easy as it may sound. Neither is the person in the pulpit always in that position where the Holy Ghost is speaking through them. And there are disappointments when you leave. Perhaps you don't learn very much about the Lord Jesus. There are churches that have pastor after pastor that does not speak the word of God, and so the congregation lives in a permanent state of infancy. It doesn't grow. Oh, lots of people may come to the church, but the spiritual growth is not there. Give me a church of 100 people that are growing spiritually, and you can have the church of several thousand where very few people are growing at all. To sit and applaud the great preaching is one thing, but to sit and learn of Jesus is something entirely different. And so the growth in grace is necessary. Then we find there needs to be clear guidance. In order for us to have a well-balanced life, there must be clear guidance. You'll find if you read the lives of some of the people in the Old Testament, for instance, 1 Kings 19:12 teaches us that there is a great longing to guide us. God wants to guide us in all details of our lives. There is no need to be blocked. There is no need not to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus. But can we hear the still small voice? Can we listen quietly while the Holy Spirit prompts our minds and hearts and pounds us, in a sense, into a shape that is worthy of the presence of Jesus? I would share with you also a fourth thing, and discover it mostly in verse 40. Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to Jesus and made her complaint. Bitter, therefore, she ends up that she helped me. I need help. Martha was distracted, so she became irritated, and she complained. You listen to the people when they go home from church. There's a saying amongst Baptists, oh, we had roast preacher for lunch today on a Sunday, meaning that whatever he said or whatever the preacher presented to them, they chewed it over and spat it out and had their own opinions and so on. They didn't learn what God was saying, and so this fourth thing is overcoming self. Don't be distracted by the things of this earth and by the complication of life. Jesus said that the tares and the wheat would have to grow together, because if we pulled one up, we'd pull the other up with it. But he said, let the angels do the separation. Don't you put yourself to separate. Learn about Jesus. Learn about Jesus. Move to a church where the Bible is paramount, where people are speaking the word of God, where people are learning the word of God, where people revel in the word of God, where we stay in the word of God. Saying rash and harmful things is not a blessing to Jesus. What was Martha's failure? She allowed herself to come to the throne, and she demanded her rights. This prevented her sitting at his feet. Self is our greatest enemy. You know, I believe implicitly that the biggest problem the Apostle Paul ever had was the Apostle Paul. and he had to get himself so that he was dead to himself. Now there is also in verse 22 the fifth and last thing that I shall share here. To gain his commendation, he commended Mary. He is pleased with our toil and the effort of our service, but most of all our sitting at his feet, our humble submission for his own dear name's sake. Mary chose to sit at his feet, verse 42. It was deliberate. How determined are we to do the same thing? And unfortunately, most of us are not very determined. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask you that we may be like Mary and come to your feet with humility and caring, that we may bow in your presence, that we may be lost in adoration and wonder and praise, that we may lift up our hearts to you. Bless the hearers of these verses, Lord, please, this day, and let Jesus be proclaimed in each one of our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. The Lord bless and keep you.